Now comes the an essential little question about Orient and Occident. We were speaking about that. There's a very interesting picture in the Borgia chambers of the Vatican that was painted for Pope Alexander VI by a painter named Pinturicchio. It shows the goddess Isis seated on a throne with two students. At her right is Hermes, Hermes Trismegistus, the supposed author of the Corpus Hermeticum, a great body of mystical hermetic writings of the first centuries AD. At her left hand is Moses. Both have learned from Isis, her two students. The background of this is from Ficino's translation in 1463 of the Corpus Hermeticum from Greek into Latin. This became an enormous excitement and inspiration for the artists of the Renaissance. Botticelli, for example, greatly inspired by this. And the sense of it was, and the reason it was so exciting was, that all of the imagery that had come down to Europe through the medieval Christian tradition, as though referring to local historical events, guaranteeing the unique importance of the Roman Catholic Church, those same symbols were found in the Hermetic writings referring to psychological interior experiences. And I remember visiting the Prado in Spain, the great museum. Its grand museum was put together at the time when all the great painters were alive. The great period of the late Renaissance and Baroque. You go through on a high. And then I came to a room which for me was higher than any, and I was stunned. A room full of Titians. And you had images from the Bible and images from classical mythology, all dealt with in the same way in terms of spiritual references. One's own religion, now understood as a mythology. This is right out of this Corpus Hermeticum. The sense of this is that you can read the mythology that you have inherited either in the way of Mosaic tradition as though they were facts, or in the way of the Hermetic tradition in the way of spiritual realizations. Facts will bind you to the fact world, to history, to fight, to battle. And this will release you from all that. Which are you ready for? Now, already in the Middle Ages, in Europe, this problem had arisen. As I've said, in Europe, from way back, the aim has been to cultivate the antithetical mask, to let the individual find his own line. But brought into Europe was the Christian tradition with its binding. You've got to believe this, you've got to believe that, you've got to do this. And marriage was a purely social arrangement, sacramentalized as though it were a spiritual arrangement. And love came into life as a danger. You could be burned at the stake for having fallen in love. To such a degree that the troubadours spoke of amor, A-M-O-R, as being precisely the opposite to Roma, R-O-M-A. Roma representing authoritarian discipline of the society, the primary mask, and amor, the awakening of the antithetical mask. Moses and Hermes, Rome, and love. Girod de Bonnet, one of the great troubadours, defines love. The eyes are scouts of the heart. They go forth to find an image which they can recommend to the heart. And if it is a gentle heart, that is to say, a heart not moved by lust, the animal impulse, but by love, which is for human beings, love is awakened. Amor is a quite different thing from what the clergy speak of. The clergy have been speaking of eros and agape, lust, the zeal of the organs, you might say, for each other, completely impersonal. Anybody will do in the dark. And on the other hand, agape, love thy neighbor as thyself, no matter who it is. Impersonal. Where's the personality? Where's the individual? Where is the antithetical mask here? Amor is the signal of the awakening of the personality.